No response, just Craig right off the bat. Like, fuck it, we are here to do a job, goddammit.
Greetings, Zapper Posse, and buckle up for the sex. Uh-oh. It is Zapper Above Nothing Podcast.
With your host,
Salsa!
James!
Holy... Yes! You know what, let's do it, let's go! Go!
All right. What are we drinking?
I'm drinking a Twisted Tea. To nobody's surprise and to the liberals' delight. Twisted Tea, the weapon of the left. Cheers.
Soup for your family.
Down the bourgeoisie, up the proletariat.
Yes. What are you drinking, Salsa?
I'm drinking a Duff beer.
Oh my god. Yay! It's super Duff.
That's great.
No, I've got my beer in a Duff koozie, and the can happens to be the same color as the koozie.
It really does coordinate well.
Yeah, but I am drinking a Kona Big Wave in my Duff koozie.
Nice.
I appreciate that the Duff koozie gives it a little cape whenever I'm using my Duff can koozie on any beverage. I will absent-mindedly, like Batman, flap the cape behind it.
You definitely have to tuck your fingers behind the cape.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
And give it a little
I mean, let's be clear. I don't use can koozies, but occasionally I will put a can in that particular koozie and just flap the cape to feel special.
Yeah. I don't need to choo-choo train this to my mouth. It just flies.
Delightful.
What are you drinking, James?
I've got a gin and tonic with some sort of herbaceous gunpowder gin, the Drum Shanbo that we've had before.
That is a good one.
And then a particularly, I don't know how to describe the tonic other than very. It's a very tonic.
Very quinine-y.
From the same company that makes Jinx tea, which is also quite good.
Mm.
Yeah. 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 Right. So this is delightful.
Yeah, I like how James just walked in and classed the place up. I'm like, I'm drinking a hard tea. And so I was like, my beer has a cape. And James is like... I'm having a gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic.
Yes.
A little je ne sais quoi.
A G&T, yeah.
G&T. Dynamite. G&T.
Dynamite.
I'm so happy right now. God. Listeners, we're recording online, so ignore time travel, skips, and whatever else. This is just a part of living in the world that we live in now. Occasionally this happens. I know I have so much to talk about, and I know we didn't talk last week. So I'm going to let the gentleman go first because they can't stop me once I get going.
That's fair and true.
No matter how much we try.
Oh, it's so cute.
Mine will probably be the briefest. Yeah.
Well, off you go then.
Yeah. So, in preparation for an upcoming vilification tennis show, there was a preparatory thing that I can't go into that occupied almost the entirety of my Saturday.
I mean, I don't know what the theme is. I think it's fairly obvious.
Yeah. There's an upcoming.
Also, you and I were able to have a conversation with the person involved deeply on that.
Sure. I'm saying we don't necessarily know the details, but like the theme has been publicized. It's not too much of a stretch of the imagination.
I mean, people know what our upcoming themes are.
Okay, right. Yeah. Right. Exceedingly cagey about it. So,
yes.
I like making people connect the dots sometimes. You know what?
Now, ordinarily,
if you want to know more, go to the website and look it up.
I feel like I'm forthcoming, perhaps even effusive In this case, I have been sworn to secrecy.
You are fifth. So
there are limited details that I can provide.
You've been actively sworn to secrecy on this specific thing.
Not just passively. I've been told that I may tell no one. I was told your mom's the word.
Did you raise your right hand and place your left hand on a book of puns?
That's a good idea for next time.
Well, you can't say anything, but I could definitely say. I was
with a glare.
So. James, very quickly, can you tell us what the theme of the next vilification tennis show is?
The next vilification tennis show is Vilification Tennis Gets High.
Okay.
Which is our April 20th, 420 show, followed by our Taskmaster show.
Yep.
Followed by our, yes, correct, followed by one of the shows that I am helping to plan. Mm-hmm. Which is the fraternity college party show, the Red Solo Cup show, basically.
Oh my God.
So one could extrapolate
drinking games
that you may have been filming tasks for Taskmaster.
Mayhap.
This is sheer conjecture on my part.
Correct. Yes.
I am not involved in the show. They don't tell me shit.
A little conjecture, a little projecture.
Rejecture? Or spending the entirety of Saturday practicing drinking games with Red Solo Cup.
Now,
right?
As it happens,
say that's also a possibility.
I have an obscure,
I don't know,
and very well documented talent for drinking games.
I'm aware.
We found this out in Japan.
You're lightweight.
That's true.
It's so weird.
And also, in Japan, celebrating one of our British friends' birthdays, I competed in a series of drunken events and beat an Aussie and two Brits at drinking games.
Okay,
the two Brits, depending on where they're from, I can see, but the Aussie?
No, this actually makes perfect sense, because drinking games are often forcing the other to drink.
Now,
okay. No,
I was definitely forced to drink.
If James was playing the game very well and making the other people have to drink more than him, this does make sense. Because again, James is a fucking lightweight.
There's a kind of a bell curve where when I am at the peak, when I'm at my most middling, little flappy cape. When I am at the peak, the middle of the bell curve of inebriation, I immediately gain advantage on dexterity rolls and hand-eye coordination. I become excellent at darts. I become amazing at pool. And I become fucking awesome at throwing ping pong balls into beer cups and playing quarters.
You see the white light, you hit the zone, you're in your...
Yeah.
Your, like, it's where your hyper-focus takes hold of the drunkenness and pushes everything forward.
Yes.
He becomes drunken master.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, the alcohol at that point, I'm not safe to do anything that isn't a drunken event, but I am safe to do a number of drunken events.
The muscles are loosened. You're not in your own head. You just kind of flow.
Yeah.
You're in a flow state. Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
So the focus is on what I'm doing and not how I'm being. So all of that, and I just repeatedly put the fucking quarter into the shot glass. I repeatedly put all of that stuff.
No, I get
it. And we were all trashed by the end of the night. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like I represented my fraternity well. So those are the upcoming shows. I'm very excited about functionally all of them, but especially excited for the Taskmaster show, which I am not in, but I have helped with, and the fraternity show, which I might be in, hasn't been cast yet, but which I have done the wealth of planning mm-hmm. for.
Right.
And so I'm...
Wait, you're not excited to get high with Jesus?
As someone who gets vertigo smoking weed.
Okay. Yep. Nope.
Yeah. The last time that I had edibles.
So when you get high, you get vertigo. And that's very yes. important.
Yeah.
Sentence structurally.
Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah. 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 I actually get high anxiety.
Yes.
Mel Brooks.
One might say he gets an elevated anxiety.
Yeah.
Oh. And
vertigo. So. Yeah. So I and somebody at some point was like, well, maybe it's a particular strain and you could try it. And I was like, look, it's not worth it.
I
to be in like exquisite discomfort for a fucking
grew up at a
6-hour jaunt.
Right. You spent a lot of time at a Ren Faire. I'm sure you've had the opportunity to try out a wide sampling of things. And I'm certain that is not the 18th time you've had somebody say that to you about that particular strain.
Yep.
Nope.
I've had the same thing. I'm like, I get really cute and cuddly for about 15 minutes and then I go pass out. Like that's how I get high. So it's not really a social drug for me. Right. I'm just like, look, if I really need to go to sleep, and that's pretty much it.
Well, and the other thing is, one of the benefits of it is that it does make me ravenously hungry, which is how I exist anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm not getting extraordinary benefit from it.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried? Oh, my God. Yeah. Shut up. No, I've tried enough. Go away.
Yeah. The prevalence of edibles has been a real boon for me personally, just because I never liked the smell nor the taste of smoking.
Sure. I can see that.
I've never liked it. I've always like come out of smoking it with just this in my mouth, and I never liked the smell. And it was
there gross. Is a fuzz that grows.
Yeah, and I just in your mouth, skunkiness, and just I hated that. I always hated that. So edibles was like, oh, a revelation.
Yes, Jenna.
In for later. Because this will directly tie into another thing that I definitely need to talk about.
Oh,
okay.
All right. But let's remember.
Yep.
Smoking, getting high. Pin. Cool.
All right.
Keep going, so, James. How else is your life?
I want to say Saturday night ish. We started feeling unwell. Two of the members of my household, Vincent, reported feeling iffy, and I was doing all right, but knocked out for sleep early because I was just exhausted, and then the next day was feeling not terrible, but just questionable enough that if there was any chance that I had picked something up, I did not want to offer it to anybody else.
I appreciate the lack of your personage at group shenanigans on Sunday.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
thank you.
I am always sad to miss a thing.
Right. No.
For example, two Sundays ago, the 16th, I had to, as an emergency, call in a backup for the Vilten show that I was very much looking forward to, that I had a fucking cute outfit picked out for,
that I had written
a shitload of jokes for, that I had like bits and all kinds of stuff prepped for. And it, like, that's crushing.
Yeah.
As someone who handles anxiety by preparing for things, being fully prepared for something and then not getting to do it, especially something that you're excited about, is
that sucks.
It fucking sucks. But I don't ever call out unless I'm desperately ill. So you know, people were like, yeah, we'll get you a backup. We got the backup, communicated with them, and the show happened. Everybody had a great time. I just didn't get to partake, and I'm real fucking sad about it. But it ended up being a great show from all accounts.
Sure. They had no giant leprechaun, but, you know, whatever. I assume you were going as a leprechaun.
No, weirdly. So I had a conversation about the costume and everything like that.
You ruined my headcanon. Don't care.
Done. I know.
Mm. You have failed for the last time again, James.
Wait. Yes and no. So I was not sure what it was that I was going to do, but I had a couple of ideas. And one of the ideas that I had was to grab a pair of dress pants that I had just purchased from a Goodwill, and have those with a set of extremely like tacky Irish color suspenders that have a shamrock at the fucking Y joint, and just like Party City that shit up. And it turns out that the size that was written on those pants was wrong. So it is what it is. They don't fit even a little. So they're much, much, much too small. So I ended up picking out a kilt. I grabbed a green shirt that was just like the right mixture of fitting and also like sleeves rolled up, like forearm-y, and you know, just like a couple of
where do you keep your armies?
In my sleeveys. And then but I was concerned about the kilt because I was like, fucking everybody's got a kilt. And they reassured me that it is just that I travel in a very particular set of circles. And that your ordinary citizens do not have a fucking closet with kilt options that they can choose from. But yeah, I had picked, like, I had shoes and everything like that. And then for Vilten, my Vilten addition to this kilt and shirt and everything like that was that I have underwear that has a snake pattern on them for St. Paddy's Day.
No, I got it. I got it. Why? Mm. Keep going.
I'm so excited about it.
James, Jenna and I are just disappointed in you and mad at you.
Yeah. This feels like usual.
Yes.
This is...
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I wanted to make it clear, though.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. But wrong. That's... I did not get to go to anything else this weekend other than assisting with Vill stuff, and which was great. I loved that. But
yeah.
I am very excited for the next couple of shows. And yeah. That's what I've been up to.
So
pie.
What? Look at
pie,
your shirt.
Pie.
You got pie on your shirt.
I do have pie on my shirt.
Yeah.
It's pie. It was pie day party. We had pie. Yeah. It was a party.
Yeah.
And I didn't cry because I didn't want to. Because I had a fantastic party. No, I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun this year. As many people will probably know about me by now, I really like to try to push the boundaries of what can and would be pie. I don't want to just do the same, like, here's a Western European pie that everybody has made 27,000 times in their lifetime, you know. Here's a chicken pot pie and an apple pie. I don't want to do that. I want to really branch out and try to see a bunch of different.
To be fair, I will never reject a chicken pot pie.
I will never reject a chicken pot pie, but I also want to explore pies that I'm not familiar with. I want to find out what's out there.
No,
I will never reject a chicken pie.
Because we do have a very Eurocentric view of our world. We see the pies from Western Europe and the Americas, and that's what we know. But there are definitely more pies out there that we are not familiar with. And so I really this year really wanted to explore pies that I was not familiar with, and that a lot of people would maybe not be familiar with. So I ended up making three pies this year. One of them was an Italian pie, but it was still unique. One of them was a Moroccan pie, and one of them was a South American pie. And so the Italian one was a kind of, I think.
Is that the one that was really pretty?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Ingredients wise, it started out pretty normal. It was it was like spinach and artichoke and ricotta cheese as you know, stuffing. Exactly. Like this is delicious, but still a pretty, you know, like nothing too out of the ballpark here. But this is where it gets really interesting. Is what you do is you layer that you know, mixture of the artichoke and the spinach and the ricotta cheese in the pie crust. And then what you do is you use a spoon and you push wells into the filling. So you've got these little dimples, and then you crack a whole egg into these wells. And then you put the top pie crust on it and you bake it. And what happens is these whole eggs cook. And so when you cut into the pie, you get this beautiful cross section of like a hard boiled egg on top of this cheesy spinach filling.
And it looks like a hard boiled egg.
It is gorgeous. It is so pretty. That pie disappeared like that. Not only did it look good, but it tasted really good too.
Look, if you had a category for visual presentation, that would have been my vote.
Absolutely.
Out of all of them there, that one was the prettiest goddamn. It wore the
pie
best
Oscar best for. The pie Oscar for best picture.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely. The cinematography was this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was vegetarian pie. There's no meat in that one. You know, so it was also accessible to a lot of people, assuming eggs is
vegetarian, not vegan.
Yes, exactly.
Unless you're like,
it depends on where your line is for that one. But that one is the Italian one. And it's actually an Italian pie that is served around Easter time. So it is an Easter pie. So not only was it unique, but it was also very time.
Salsa is now time traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've got a time-traveling salsa. Time-traveling salsa.
Time-traveling salsa.
Time-traveling salsa. I'm just going to do this to...
No, I'm right here, every guy.
Ooh, okay. There you are. Yeah, there you are. You came back. Okay. Oh my God, I hope your adventure was amazing.
It was great. What did you last
see?
Easter pie.
I heard everything you said.
Okay.
But anyway, it was it's an Italian Easter pie. So not only was it delicious, but it was also fairly time appropriate. Springtime. That was the Italian one. The other ones were ones that I had never heard of before and was really excited about. The second one, the South American pie, it's called pastel de choclo. And that basically translates to corn pie. Okay. In essence, what it is a shepherd's pie, but instead of the top layer being potato, this was corn. So it was like a corn, I wouldn't say corn bread, but it was like a corn pudding.
It was much more of a corn pudding, because you did have like some cream in there and stuff.
Yeah, it was it was creamed corn with a little bit of actual cream in there. It's cooked over the stovetop with sugar to thicken it up. So you get kind of this corn pudding topping. And then underneath it, you have beef and chicken with some beautiful spicing, and then like a hard boiled egg chopped up in there and stuff like that. in the bottom. So
I did have some of that one, and that was amazing.
Yeah, and because that one is crustless, that is a gluten free pie.
Yeah,
which was great. But that one was also very, very good. Highly recommend that one.
Uh-huh.
So that one was pastel de choclo, and the third one that I made this year was a pie from Morocco. Like I said, it's either pastilla or bastilla, depending on which translation you're looking at. But it is, it's made with phyllo dough. Okay, so you start layering the phyllo dough. You've got these thin layers. But this is really interesting, and because I specifically was looking for pies that towed the line between sweet and savory.
Okay.
I really wanted to have pies that were not clearly defined in one or the other of those categories. Because I originally started looking up, are there any desserts in the world that contain meat?
Okay.
And the answer is there are some like Middle Eastern and Northern African desserts that have like saffron chicken in them.
Oh, you
see that.
But then you add a lot, like you add a lot of like almonds and dates and stuff like that to that to make it more of a dessert. So I started there, and that's where I found this pie. And again, this pie kind of had that toed that line a little bit because you start with phyllo dough. You layer the phyllo dough, you put a few layers down, and then you put in a layer of basically baklava filling. Like you roast almonds and mix them in with sugar and stuff like that. And you get this roasted almond baklava kind of layer. But then you put down more layers of phyllo dough.
Different from a balaclava.
Very.
Oh my God.
Do not put a balaclava in the pie. But then you layer
I have a question about the balaclava.
Yes.
Do I put it in the pie?
Dear God, no.
Okay.
Shit.
Okay.
All right. We need to be able to see the entire face of the pie.
Yes.
Not just the eyes and mouth.
So you put this layer in, and then you put more layer of crust in. And what this basically does is make the baklava layer in a separate pocket from the rest of the pie.
Okay.
And so when the pie is done, you get like a savory pocket and a sweet pocket. All in the
sweet pocket was my nickname in high school.
I
was going to say like at least two out of three of Salsa's pies came with pockets.
Yes.
Fashionable.
I had a lot of fun.
Very fashion forward. With
construction this year, actually.
Yeah. I can tell.
So You've got this like I said, this kind of baklava-y layer, and then you put more phyllo in, and then the meat layer is chicken that has been cooked in like North African spices. So it's like cinnamon and clove and cardamom and turmeric and things like that, a little orange blossom water and you know, that sort of thing. So you get this very interesting spiced chicken, and then you put in some like egg and some other stuff in there to make it really, really, really delicious. But that's in like a separate pocket then. And then you layer more phyllo dough to make a bottom crust. And then you fold in the edges and you bake that pie halfway. And then you take it out of the oven and you put it on a pan and you flip it and you take it out of the pie pan.
Oh, okay.
So now you've basically got like a big pocket pie. Huh.
Almost like an upside down cake.
Yeah, exactly. So you've inverted this. So now instead of being up in a pie tin that's flared out on the sides, now you've got a pie pan that's domed or you've got a pie that's freestanding and domed. Mm-hmm. But you've got that sweet layer on top and that thick, you know, savory layer below. And that was a really interesting pie. It was really good, but it was a flavor I could not describe to you at all. It was out of this world. It was not something that I have the vocabulary for, having grown up in a world of Western cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. So really, really enjoyed that one. My daughter, independently of me wanting to skirt the layer between sweet and savory, my daughter also came to me and said, I want to try a pie that's both sweet and savory. Yeah. So she ended up making...
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And then
I know, but and again, this was like, I had not mentioned that I was doing this to her. This was not prompted anyway. She just was like, I kind of want to try something that's a little bit of both. And it was just like...
And you became proud in your daughter.
Goodness, so proud. So she made a pie that was a sausage pancake pie. It was basically like mostly pancake with sausage in it. And then we poured homemade maple syrup on top of it. And that soaked into the pancake.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, it was so good. And I had just gotten done like that homemade maple syrup was like 2 days old at that point. Super, super fresh maple syrup soaked into this pancake pie with these crumbles of spicy pork sausage in it with this beautiful array of apple slices on top. She did a fantastic job. I was so proud of her. But again, it was one of those pies that just you ate it and you went, it's pretty savory, but it's also got the maple pancake. And then my son made a strawberry mousse pie that he again did by himself. I was super proud of him. And mousse, if you've never made mousse, trying to fold in, you know, whipped cream without having the whole thing collapse on you when you're nine, that's kudos to him.
Actually had a conversation with him about it while he was the host. And we're asking about ingredients, and he managed to take everything off. And at one point, I was like, "What are you worried about? Like, what are you looking for?" I'm like, I mean, there are many things, but when you say mousse, I think dairy. And he goes, "No, there isn't any. Oh, whipping cream."
Yeah.
And I was like, "There we go." But he called it. He recognized it, and he was able to list everything that went into that pie. So
yeah.
So I did not try it, but it sounded amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, and at the end of the day, it was a strawberry mousse pie. It was good. Don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like, you know, something unique out of left field something that you absolutely had to have. It was really good. We had a lot of fun, and obviously, everybody else brought a whole bunch of different pies. My wife was feeling under the weather days leading up to the event. So she was just like, she had plans to make a pie, but she was like, I don't feel up to it this year, you know.
That makes sense. Yeah,
didn't have the energy for it, and so she was just like, I'll make it next year. So I'm not going to spoil what she was going to make because I'm really looking forward to seeing her.
I was going to do the crab rangoon again, and I too was feeling unwell. She and I were at a few of the same shenanigans the weekend before, so it's possible we had similar difficulties leading up to the day of. But So I brought a gluten-free, dairy-free, Daiya meatless pepperoni pizza. Yep. But I decided...
pizza pie.
People ate it though. Like that was the thing that got me. Like, I know there are a few people that are also gluten free, dairy free that might eat it, but like they ate it. Like I had enough to fill me for what I wanted to make sure that I got in my system before I started eating other pies that might affect me poorly. And but yeah, I showed up with this thing. And I had it baking when Raiderly got back home. And she pulls out her contribution, and I was like, oh, so we had the same idea. She did not get a pizza pie, but she did get a store-bought.
Yep.
And I've decided that it's much like brain chemicals. If you can't make your own, store-bought is fine.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I had a few people this year that were like, I just ran out of time and I feel bad because I just had to buy a pie. And it's like, that's, I don't care.
It felt a little dirty, but like, it was more disappointment.
The whole point of the party is to get people together and hang out. I don't care if you make your own pie. I enjoy doing it, but fucking come without a pie, buy a pie. I don't care. There's no pie police. Show up. That's all I give a shit about.
All pie cops are bastards.
Also that.
I wasn't about to volunteer to be the pie police.
Oh my god. Pie Cop is the name of my first album.
Oh, so good. Anyway. Every song has to start with sirens. I don't care if it's about fluffy bunnies, but every song has to start with sirens.
Fantastic. I was wondering if it was a cover band of something, but I can't think of...
The Police.
Would you be? Oh.
Obviously.
That makes sense.
Come on. Okay. Get on that.
Yeah, that's on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mistake.
No, our house was absolutely packed. The basement was full of kids. The backyard was full of kids. And we had so many people.
People came from as far as Montana.
Yeah, literally. It was a good time. We had a real rip roaring time, and I enjoyed every minute of it. So yeah, that was my weekend. That was
what a blast.
Yeah. What about you, Jenna?
Well, I also went to this Friday thing. And it was a very packed and glorious event.
Yeah.
I don't have anything specific to add. Just it was lovely to hang out with wonderful people and salsa and, eat a bunch of pie. no, it was a good time. And I always appreciate every year the Pie Day party. I was sick leading up to it. I was really scared. I was going to have to dip out.
Raider Lee was also up till the day of was like, I'm
like, so here's what I'm going to tell you about the week and change leading up to it.
All right.
Because the weekend before Pi Day was St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do an episode. I was busy, motherfuckers. And you should have been too. So Friday, St. Patrick's Day, I walked down to my local pub, two blocks away, Morrissey's. And I went down there, number one, because I could walk it. Number two, because they have a cottage pie that I absolutely adore. Guess what day Friday was?
Friday was the Ides of March, wasn't it?
No. Oh my god. It was Pi Day. Friday was the 14th.
Friday, okay.
15th.
Saturday was Ides of March.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, I went down to my local pub to get cottage pie on Pi Day.
Perfect.
On St. Patrick's Day weekend. I couldn't think of anything better than that. But I also happen to know that some friends of mine were going to be playing that evening.
What?
Yeah. You know
people that play music?
Oh, it's so weird.
I know.
Like Friday at 3:00, I went down to the pub and the Jameson twins were playing from 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
There was a huge thing of confusion over whether or not the pub was public or private at that point. Jameson Distribution actually does their beginning of St. Patrick's Day thing at Morrissey's every year. And they always have the Jameson twins to play because that's appropriate. Sometimes they're private, sometimes they're public. It was originally going to be private, ended up being public. I was there. And so were the regular Morrissey barflies. And they were like, oh, you weren't going to be open? Fuck you. And the owner was like, whatever, fuck you too. It was great. But that does mean I got to see the Jameson twins, and I got to hang out with my buddy Danny, who is a part of Jameson Distribution and an incredible individual. So got to hang out with those people. I grabbed a proper table, and the rest of the lineup Jameson Twins was from 3 to 6. Mm-hmm. From 6 to 9 was the Dregs, and from 9 to midnight was Bedlam. And I'm like, perfect. I'm going to walk down to my local pub, have some cottage pie, watch a bunch of bands play that I know, and then go home. Yep. It'll be great.
Have lunch there, watch some music, have dinner there, watch a bunch of music, have a nightcap there.
Okay, I mean, I'm talking about Friday evening.
I know, I just, that's quite a set.
It is pretty much the same concept.
Yeah.
As I was there listening to the Jameson Twins, suddenly Scott showed up. And I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm here to deliver rosin because the fiddle player and the Jameson Twins needs rosin. And I'm sitting there like, I've been here for an hour and a half. I live 2 blocks away. I have rosin. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm like,
yeah.
Had anybody asked me, I could have been like, oh, derp, derp, derp.
No,
I'm looking at it right now.
I love the fact that they called
Scott. Yeah, just having it on hand.
I love the fact that they called Scott, who doesn't play the fiddle.
And yet
he had it.
He is such a Boy Scout. He fucking had rosin. He had tootled on over on his scooter to deliver the rosin. Mm. And I was like, Scott, this is the place to be. And he was like, well, I'm going to go grab Rachel then. So he scootered back home. Fucking. And I love that this mountain man looking individual tootles along on a scooter. Like, that just fills my heart in a very specific way.
Oh, he loves that scooter.
I know, and he should. Scooters are awesome. But, like, I know nothing about the scooter. I just know that he has one, and he tools around on it, and it's adorable. But, yeah. So, he came back with Rachel. And we listened to the Dregs together. At one point, the microphone holder was having issues. And so Scott went over to help hold the microphone in the middle of one of their songs for Trevor of the Dregs.
Yep.
And I was like, really? Really? Okay. But I snapped the perfect picture. All of the, like, when we're talking just straight up photography, all of the lines were exactly where they needed to be.
Yeah,
it was absolutely
perfect,
except for a little fuzzy blurb in the corner. And I don't know if that was I don't know if it was a finger or a head. You know what I mean? Like, could have been my finger. It could have been someone's hair. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's all kind of that reddish pinkish color.
Give it a little bit of a crop. It'll be fine.
Perfect picture. And I posted it to Facebook and I was like, here's Scott being helpful to every band playing tonight. Mm-hmm. Cause he just kept delivering things. So, And then eventually Raiderly showed up, because I don't know if you knew this, but her father is in Bedlam. that's an inside joke. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Some of these are just for us. So I got to hang out the entire evening with Scott, Rachel, Raiderly, a bunch of people, other people that I enjoy, listening to folk bands from, like, festival, people that I know and have cared about for ages. Like, it was such a warm feel. Like, that's what I want a portion of my St. Patrick's Day to be, is hanging out with good friends, listening to good friends. Mm-hmm. It is important to me that every St. Patrick's Day has an element of that, right? And Friday was just full. There were friends and random people that I knew, and like I got to make connections with people. It was great. It was wonderful. Saturday, I went down to Morrissey's again because the Dregs were playing at Morrissey's again, and it was noon, and I'm way too lazy to go somewhere else. So I went back down to Morrissey's to hear the Dregs and get an authentic Irish breakfast. And I did that, got to hang out with more cool people. It was lovely. And then I went to head out to Shamrocks.
Sorry, Morrissey's does a traditional Irish?
Yeah. So they have bangers, rashers, black and white blood pudding.
Okay.
They have.
Do they do the tomatoes and the?
They've got tomatoes. They've got beans.
Oh, they do beans. Okay,
They do beans.
That's more English, but do they do the mushrooms?
They have French fries as opposed to like other types of potatoes.
Okay.
But eggs.
And the mushrooms?
No mushrooms.
Oh. You gotta have the mushrooms.
I don't remember mushrooms, but yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can yell at Paul later if you want to, but
sure. I just there's like three places that I know of that do like a traditional English or Irish breakfast. And so I always just like, don't you have
Bangers and Rashers, a couple of different blood puddings.
Okay.
The beans were actually really good. I'm not generally a beans person, but they've got a nice bump to them that I really enjoyed.
I mean, the bangers and the puddings are really the staple. As long as you've got those.
Fucking rashers, man. I
meant those too. Yeah, the bangers, rashers, and the puddings is really the like core of it.
Those are the important things. But beans, fries, and eggs as well. And I want to say bread of some sort.
Okay. There's a place that my wife found that we go to for Father's Day that has a traditional English.
Well,
I think the beans are the thing that most people aren't going to be used to with a full English breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be an Irish breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And the Irish usually doesn't have the beans. So I don't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, that's fair. And that does allow me to back up for a second. Joe and I both went together for the opening. We actually got there at 10:57. And they were opening at 11. And here's how much of a local bar this is. Joe and I showed up and we're like, yeah, we've got a few minutes to kill. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was slightly drizzly, not bad. The owner of Morrissey's poked his head out, looked at us and went, what's the password?
That's amazing.
And I went, Paul is awesome. And he went, don't kiss my ass and let us in. So yeah, like that's my local pub, right? Yeah. I have my local bar, which is BLB, and my local pub, which is Morrissey's, and that is very important to me. But yeah, so Joe and I both had the authentic Irish breakfast, which makes what happens next very, very sad.
Mm.
I went to Shamrocks to hear Inland Seas, and it was intense at Shamrocks. Like, if you were wondering where all of the people were for St. Patrick's Day over the course of the weekend, they were all at Shamrocks.
Hmm.
It was thick with people and stench.
Jeez.
It was, yeah, this was, and like, Shamrocks has an actual stage. And Inland Seas are setting up there. And I went in and I like instantly just did not feel good. And I'd been feeling a little off on the way over. I got there and I tried for like a half an hour to like figure out a way I could hang out. And I was like, I can't do this. I got to go home. So I went home. And that means I missed out on Inland Seas and Northerly Gales that evening at the Dubliner. No. That one was Waking Murphy at the Dubliner that night. I don't think
I know them.
You do know Waking Murphy. It is some of the people from Two Broke Blokes.
Okay.
There was a rebuilding, a restructuring, and now they are Waking Murphy.
Okay. You
know at least one specifically, for sure. I don't actually know who all else is in the band, but you know I one don't know specifically.
Them. Sure, okay. No, that's good to know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, they were playing at the Dubliner, and I was like, when I got home, I was like, yeah, I'm not good. And then a few hours later, my body told me exactly how not good I was.
Mm.
I think what happened is that I had a food reaction. Something to do with the authentic Irish breakfast. Now, here's what's key. Joe also had the authentic Irish breakfast and had zero issues. So I think this is a Jenna's body specifically rejected something. Right? I don't think there was food poisoning. I don't think there was anything like that. I think it was very specifically Jenna's body went, this is not for me. What could it have been? I don't know. Any number of fucking foods.
Cook something in coconut oil or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Like, no idea what, but very specifically, I was like, this is a food reaction. This is a food reaction. This is a oh my God. This part is definitely a food reaction. It was not pleasant.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So that was my Saturday and my Sunday. And Sunday I had been, I know, right? Like that was half of my St. Patrick's Day weekend. Sunday I was planning to see, Gus the Troubadour. And Northerly Gales. And I was like, maybe I can do a pickup on some inland seas. Although I think they were in Stillwater that day. But yeah, like, so I had other plans that I just didn't end up doing on Sunday because body. But Sunday I had the day off because I plan. And I was feeling much recovered from my food issues, a little body weary, you know, kind of that tired thing. But Monday I started my day at Merlin's Rest where Gus the Troubadour was playing.
Well, there you go.
So I got to do that pickup. Yeah. And I have never actually been to a Gus show. And I'm a little sad that their bodyguard, buddy, I don't know, strong arm assist, little guy, wasn't there for the Merlin show. It was
our darling Vincent.
Yes. It was just me and the gray hairs on a Monday at noon. Like, and it was lovely. There was one guy that was very specific about what constituted Irish folk music, so Gus had to be more explicit in his intros as to what type of music he was about to play. The guy came around.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I will say, one of the things that I do over St. Patrick's Day weekend is I keep score on number of times certain songs are played. And I think next year I'm going to have an actual sheet that has like St. Patrick's Day bingo and like a list for just tallying number of times various songs are hit.
Jenna,
yes.
Only you could turn St. Patrick's Day into a spreadsheetable moment.
Oh, no, others could because the bingo card was Joe's idea. That's why he's my best buddy and best house partner. also, I think Salsa might be time traveling right now, but I'm just going to keep talking for a bit. There you are. You're back. Great. You were just frozen with your hand on your forehead, and I'm like, is he just doing that? Or is he actually frozen? But no, so here's the thing. I saw, over the course of the weekend, I saw 6 shows. Over the course of 6 shows, I heard 6 Whiskey in the Jars. One of the shows did not play Whiskey in the Jar.
Oh.
Gus started his set with Whiskey in the Jar, and then 3 hours later, towards the end of his set, somebody asked for Whiskey in the Jar, and he went, but I already played. You know what? It's fine. It's like, it's been 3 hours. Nobody is still here. And I'm kind of like, hey. But no, and he was right. It was fine. I didn't care. so, yeah. I was very excited because I was like, the boys got to play it, and they didn't, and I was mad. So yeah, but so I saw Gus finally. I like his show. He's got a good voice. He's got, especially with the electronic setup that he's got.
Yeah.
High quality.
He's so talented. Yeah.
He is the right amount of audience participation. He's really good at gauging the audience. How do I work with the people that are up front? He's got good shtick, but also knows when to pull back on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hardest thing. When you are so goddamn proud of your shtick and you want to do your shtick, but people don't want it. Like, they're not open to it yet. Mm-hmm. Knowing when to pull back and save it for later is one of the hardest things to do as a performer. And he does that damn near instinctual. It was real fun to watch.
Nice.
So, yeah. And then I went to my final show. This little band called Four Pints Shy.
You've heard of them.
Yeah. For those not in the know, these are a group of people that I basically grew up with at the Renaissance Festival. High school buddies might be a better term for most of them, but like, still Renfair high school buddies, not like, you know. But yeah, they're my boys. They're the ones that I go see every year, for sure. And they played Kieran's on St. Patrick's Day from 4 to 7. So I was there at 2:45 to make sure I got the booth. There's a specific booth that can accommodate a large amount of people if you space it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did manage to get the booth. So okay. I showed up. Next one was Rachel. There was Kish. Nice. Raiderly showed up, few other friends, and then Robin and Claire showed up with Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea she was in town. Like, they just showed up. And so what happened was I looked over and I was like, oh, hey guys. And then I looked back and I went, wait a minute. and then screamed like a teenage girl. And made a run for Becky, who I have not seen in probably, I want to say once since COVID. That was a couple years ago for a friend's wedding.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And I absolutely adore Becky. She's a delight. So, yeah, and more people showed up. The night showed up. I can't list everybody. It was such a good time, and we all had a lovely time, and we partied hard, and then afterwards, I partied hard some more, and then I went home, and I woke up the next day, and I was like, oh, I don't feel so good. And I made it through my work day on Tuesday, and Tuesday night, I had a fever spike of 101.
Oh.
I had...
Oh, no.
I believe what they call... flu-like symptoms.
Oh.
And I was like, well, that sucks. So, yeah, I did not work for 3 days in a row. I was just... Yeah. And I work from home at a computer. Yeah, and I was like, nope.
Mm.
Like, very rarely do I call in sick. And I was like, I can't. And my boss was like, I believe you. So, yeah, I had a few days where I wasn't feeling great, and then I missed a few things, and I thought I was going to miss Pi Day, but I did not! Bam!
Nope.
And that brings us back around.
Unlike to Pi someone.
Day. I know.
Oh, my God. No, thank you for not... I would be so sad if I was sick right now, James. Yeah. I have been... My entire week was mostly flu-like symptoms.
Ugh.
I am so glad that there is not more of that in my right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and the thing is, like, I'm still coughing, and even if I wasn't bringing anything with me, going to a food event with a cough, however benign,
yeah,
just right. I didn't
want to
take any chances.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, with an event like Pi Day, just everybody's fingers are in everything, you know.
Everybody,
In. No, actually, no, the rest of that sentence actually can be dirty, no matter which one you like. Damn it! Fucked up the joke. I'm so mad. I have much more to talk about, but maybe a break?
Yeah,
and then I can talk about that. Those things.
That sounds good. I can refresh my drink.
Yeah.
This is, I will let everybody know I have more medical shenanigans to discuss, so prepare yourselves.
We'll have that to look forward to.
Lord. All right. So this is less a break and more of a momentary reprieve. All right. Now we'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And I was talking to a bunch of people about my vagina, because my vagina is fascinating, by the way. Let's be clear.
Medically fascinating.
Medically fascinating vagina.
Medically fascinating vagina is the name of my book of poems.
Wow.
Oh.
No, I kind of love that.
Okay, hold up, though. If there are the vagina monologues, would these be the vagina whispers?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
I'm lost in plot.
I'm going to talk about my vagina. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it's another one of those segments, kids.
Yeah, we're trying something new around here.
Look, if we're not talking about it in one way, we're going to have to talk about it in another way. And this is the more medically fascinating way to discuss.
True.
Mm. But yeah, I don't think this one is particularly gross. Gauge your levels accordingly. But I will be talking about my uterus and my vagina for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a doctor's appointment today. The one that I was supposed to have a month ago. yeah.
How did it go?
So, the doctor's, very specifically when I came in, I was a little bit early, 'cause that's how I fucking do, yo. And some of the doctor's other patients had not been. And she peeked her head in a few minutes before our appointment was supposed to start. And she was like, "Can you hang out for a bit? Because if so, I can talk with you longer." And I was like, that's the thing I want. Yes, I have a cell phone. I'll be good. Go, doctor. It'll be great. So
that is literally what I do want.
Yes. If you can make more time for me, if I sit patiently, I'm here for this. I'm good. Do it. So she's like, great. And she came back about 40 minutes later. But out of a 20-minute scheduled appointment, she gave me almost an hour. So that worked out well for me. And we discussed everything regarding my vagina. Well, specifically my uterus. So she was like, "How's medication going?" I was like, "Poorly." I was like, on the one hand, it is solving the issue currently that we started out to try to solve, in that I am not heavily bleeding for elongated periods of time. In fact, I'm not bleeding at all. I haven't done that since, I shed my entire uterine lining last July. Mm-hmm. Or last January. We did a thing, fixed it, resolved it. Great. But the side effects are not good. I'm having GI issues. And those are unfun. I'm having fatigue and mental difficulties doing certain recall things. And some of that might be because I already have a pre-existing brain injury, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. I'll be in the middle of a conversation. I'll be like, "I'm sorry, I need just a minute to recalibrate." And then I do. And then I get back into the conversation. People are like, "What the fuck was that?" And I was like, Spinny Wheel of Doom. I need to clear out my RAM, but I don't have a place to put it yet.
Rebooting.
Which is honestly exactly what needs to happen with my brain.
I was turning it off and on again.
Basically. And I was like, but the biggest issue I'm having right now is anxiety. And she's like, have you ever had anxiety before? And I was like, oh, hello, doctor that I just met a few months ago. Let me tell you a little bit more about mood disorders in my family, mood disorders for me specifically, my trauma from my upbringing, my trauma from my adult life, and where we're at today. And I basically said, yes. Sure. But yeah, so we did have a longer conversation about mood issues that I have. And, the problem is that, SSRIs do not work well for me. We have never been able to find one that works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have, and she was like, okay, just devil's advocate here. Have you tried this one? And I was like, oh, that one gave me fun dreams. And she was like, okay, cool. Oh, what about that one? I'm like, oh, that one didn't let me sleep. And then I started hallucinating visually.
Ooh.
And she's like, all right. Well, what about this one? I'm like, oh, it just didn't work. Like she's naming things. And she's like, is there another one you've tried that I haven't listed yet? And I was like, amitriptyline, actually, which is... Huh. She was like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah. Amitriptyline is one of those hard drugs they don't generally give out.
Mm-hmm.
But at a very low dose, it can be used for mitigating certain mood disorders, bipolar anxiety. And it's also really good for if you're pooping funny.
Oh.
And it was my miracle drug when I took it. It was my miracle fucking, all of the problems that I felt like a human being. I was like, Jesus. Oh, this is what real people feel like. Like everybody that doesn't have to deal with these mood issues. This is what this is like. And I did that for 6 months until Bill was like, hey, you're having seizures in your sleep. And I was like, well, guess I'm not on that medication anymore. And she was just like, oh, okay. So we're not going to do the cascading medical thing. And I'm like, I'd rather not do that. Thanks. And we talked about severity of anxiety and a whole bunch of other things. Let's just say I've cried more in the past few months than I think I have in the past 10 years. Yeah, it's not been a fun time in my brain. So she was like, well, how do you deal with these things? And I was like, oh, I've been through so much therapy. all of the therapy. In fact, I feel more people should go through therapy. And she's like, yeah, no, you're actually correct on that. Way more people should go through therapy. I'm like, I think everybody should go through therapy, frankly. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, anxiety, so DBT. And I'm like, winner. Oh, my God. Well done. That is my therapy of choice. It's like, I tried CBT and it was just too judgy for me. I didn't like it. And then we talked about a few, yeah, we spent like a minute just talking about different therapy, angles for anxiety. Like it was great. I really do like my doctor. And so we're like, okay, so we are not going to medicinally cascade this shit. So here are the actual options that exist for you.
Mm-hmm.
We can try changing your medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, boy, howdy, have I heard that when we were trying to deal with my anxiety 10 years ago? And she went, I know, okay. But, like, that is an option, right? She's like, or hysterectomy. And just take it out, be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and here's the thing, like, I do not like the idea of surgery. I don't like needles. I don't know if y'all remember my fear of needles, but I have that. And that's not great in a surgery situation. And if there was any other option, I probably would go with it. But I cannot And one of the things that I expressed to her is that I feel like my anxiety is getting worse because I don't have a plan or an end goal in sight.
Mm-hmm.
The, well, let's try this med. Okay, let's try this med doesn't give me any kind of closure. And yeah, that's driving me insane. And she was like, all right. So basically, this is intolerable. It is not consistently solving what you need because you were bleeding just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. The symptoms are intolerable, so we're gonna do a hysterectomy. And I was like, cool. So what does and that look like?
Came yeah, out of the ceiling.
There were balloons, but they were Mylar, not latex, because I'm allergic.
Story checks out. Yeah.
No. And she was very much, she wanted me to make the decision. And I did, actually. I was like, well, tell me more about the medication. And she's like, so we're not sure, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, nope. I'm already I'm having anxiety having this conversation. I think we just need to chuck the uterus. Like, it was really just that simple with my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I will note for anybody that's frustrated going through a process like this.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons, a doctor needs to try various types of medications before they can go to mm-hmm. surgery. Number one, health risk, any kind of surgery. And a hysterectomy is a major surgery that carries risk of various things, including death. So, like, mm-hmm. you do try those things as a doctor first for those reasons. But also, mm-hmm. you want to convince insurance this is the only option, and they have to shell out a ton of money to do it. And quite honestly, I started seeing this doctor last October.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it only took 6 months, basically, to get to hysterectomy,
mm-hmm.
I think is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And it would have been five if they hadn't moved my appointment, but... Yeah, like, tried a couple of things, had some conversations, did all of that. She has been very on point as far as what can we try, what can we do? And she has dealt with more than one of me having a breakdown in front of her. Which was, of course, exacerbated by the fact that I have high anxiety with my medications. Anyway. So, hysterectomy. Here we go. Here's the fun. She gave me all of the options. She was like, all right, let's talk hysterectomy. Here's all of the different ways a hysterectomy can and should go.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different ways that doctors can work on your insides.
Mm.
Especially if you have a vagina. Because you already kind of have access to said organ that you are trying to remove, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's an awkward indirect way, but it's also more direct than any other thing that you're going to be working on organ-wise surgery setting. We talked about removing uteruses in general, my uterus specific, other organs to remove with it.
As long as we're in there, we'll give you an oil change and check your, grease your zerk fittings and check your ball joints.
Here's the deal. Yeah. There are kind of three ways of getting a uterus out of a body.
Okay.
I don't even know how to phrase that any differently. You can drag it out through the vagina.
Sure.
You can take it out laparoscopically through smaller incisions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Or you can do an open abdominal surgery.
Okay.
Okay.
And that is, they're basically just opening up your tummy and fucking plan operation, right?
Right.
The laparoscopic
doing it
is,
old school.
Yeah.
Clown car style.
Right. That one is the least preferred overall for a variety of reasons.
God damn it.
And including the clowns.
Yeah.
But
fuck.
So that's like the, oh shit, we really need to visually like look at,
yeah,
get in there, yeah, be able to have speed and do shit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Laparoscopic is where they make small incisions in your abdomen to put various tools. And they do all of the work through those tiny little incisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll have a specific camera or five set up in your abdomen like it's a goddamn studio. And then they have other instruments in other tiny incisions to like be able to cut and do whatever they need to do. And laparoscopic and vaginal are very similar. The difference is with laparoscopic, they take the uterus out through the incision. So one of them might be like a little bit bigger or like various, various different ways of doing that. So that's the laparoscopic. The vaginal is pretty much the exact same thing, where they still have tiny incisions for tools and cameras, but instead of pulling the uterus out through one of those cuts, they pull it out through the vagina. And that's the vaginal one, right?
Okay.
So it is important to note that a hysterectomy, in definition, is just the uterus. If you say hysterectomy, that's the uterus. A total hysterectomy, tricky, is the uterus and the cervix, but they still leave the ovaries.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
When you hear total, you would think, like, also take the ovaries.
Total hysterectomy.
Right. A radical hysterectomy is when they just take the entire reproductive system and yoink it out of your body.
And they replace it with a bottle of Mountain Dew and...
No, I'm not.
Oh, sorry, that's an extreme.
That's an extreme, not a radical. The radical is pizza. It's a pie thing. Don't worry about it, James.
It's pizza and skateboarding,
Yeah, okay.
So anyway...
God damn.
So what we're going to do is we are going to do a total... a total hysterectomy, a total vaginal hysterectomy. That is going to be the intent starting out. So that would leave my ovaries, which are good to have around for like making various hormones and things that your body needs.
Okay.
I do have difficulties with righty. And I believe I've discussed this before.
Yes.
Righty is a cystic bitch. And, like, I'm kind of done with her, but my doctor was like, well, maybe you shouldn't be. And I was like,
okay.
But she has a cyst right now. What the fuck? And she was like, okay, so here's the deal. If I go in there.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my thing, I will take a look at righty. If I think, and it's like 99% positive that righty has a benign cyst. She's been doing this my whole life. Nobody's surprised. She's just a whiny ass bitch. But if the doctor looks at it and thinks there's any chance that there could be malignancy, she will take the ovary. She'll just take it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. If not, here's the fun thing. If not, she's gonna pop the cyst like a pimple.
Okay.
It should have been ovary pimple. And she's just gonna take care of that cyst. Just kind of pop it. And I was like, okay, hold up. I've had ovarian cysts rupture before. And she's like, Jenna, you're gonna have so much else going on with your body that this is not gonna register, okay? And I was like, oh, no, that's a fair point. You're removing organs from my body. This is fine.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. All right.
That is going to be a drop in a teacup in a hurricane.
Yeah. Just like, no, you're mm-hmm. you're correct, and you know what you're about, doctor. So yeah, with the vaginal, the total vaginal hysterectomy, what they're going to do is, you know, make the slits. They're going to insert the cameras and tools. They're going to do everything to get the uterus ready for removal. And then mm-hmm. they're going to pull it out through my vagina.
Okay.
And then take the cervix with it.
Yeah.
So I will no longer have a uterus or a cervix for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are guaranteed. Those are going.
Mm-hmm.
And the cervix, like, I think I remember, the problem is that I don't talk to my family. So I don't know a lot about my family medical history, but I believe there is somebody in my family medical history that did have cervical cancer. And I was like, let's just, like, my doctor was leaning towards it anyway. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's just, then I don't have to worry about it. Right. It's just gone.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Can't get cancer in something that's in a jar.
Right. I mean, you can, but you have to be very deliberate about
challenge
it.
Challenge accepted.
Salsa, before you accept any challenges that might affect your health negatively, you have to pass them by Raiderly and get her approval.
That's true. Okay.
I don't think this
challenge one works, but... challenge accepted with an asterisk.
Don't get cancer in your asterisk. That's deadly.
Not mine. Somebody's in a jar.
That's... I don't...
Okay.
Okay, so anyway. here's the super fun part about my situation. So we've talked about how I have the cyst on my ovary and how that all might get taken care of. The other issues that I have is I have a couple of small fibroids. My doctor does not think that that's going to be an issue. It's just going to be a little tedious in getting those removed.
Okay.
But I do have adenomyosis.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the super fun part, is that, and slightly terrifying, but I've decided to err on the side of fun. So with adenomyosis, your uterus is not as smooth, and it's bigger.
Okay.
Than a uterus normally would be. A lot of times when you're doing on a healthy uterus, you can just kind of scoop it. Like there's a few things that you need to kind of chop away, but for the most part, it's just a thing that you scoop and chunk and then yoink and you're done. 2 hours later, because careful. With adenomyosis, one of the big things is I want you to picture having different. Okay, here we go. You know when you get a chunk of meat?
Okay.
All right, and you've got some of those sinews.
Sure.
That are kind of there and in the way, and you need to get rid of those before you can work with the meat. Basically, adenomyosis is a bunch of sinews.
Okay.
So you have to carefully cut around and whatever. And it does, again, like, my uterus will be bigger than your non-adenomyosis uterus.
Are they able to assist in that process by slow cooking it or by salting it beforehand?
Actually, tenderizing? Actually, no, here we go. Here's the fun part. So because of where the sinews may or may not be located, they may be able to cut around everything and just pull it out through my vagina like normal.
Sure.
Or they may have to do something a bit more intensive where they basically put, they cut around it, but if it doesn't come through right away, they're going to put my uterus in a bag. Inside my body, they're gonna ziplock that shit, and they're gonna reach in through the vagina and chunk it They're going to chop up my uterus inside of a bag.
And they're going to add a marinade, and it's going to be so tender.
My cervix and out my vagina. I am so excited about this, you guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Through, I thought the cervix was going too.
It will. Uterus first, then the cervix after.
Okay.
There's an order to these things, Salsa.
But it seems like the backwards order.
To reduce bleeding and infection possibilities.
Okay, I'm sure there's a reason.
Very specifically. In fact, the scariest part about all of this is not necessarily the nicking of any other organs, which is a possibility.
Sure.
It's not possible internal bleeding. There might actually be a little bit, but not more than a shot glass, which I'm like, oh, that's like a half an hour of my period. I don't know what you're worried about. But the biggest risk in this is infection in the surgical stitching in the vagina after the removal of the cervix.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Any kind of infection in that area can lead to a very quick sepsis situation.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That is the biggest issue. And I am so lucky that my roommate is so neurotic about cleanliness because I was like, here's the possibility. He's like, well, that's not happening on my watch. And I'm like, great. But yeah, so that is the last thing that happens because of the bleeding and the possibility of infection in that specific area once everything is taken out. Is my understanding anyway. But yeah,
it really surprised me. I assumed that they would start at the bottom and work their way up as opposed to starting at the top.
It's a first in, last out. Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a stopper situation.
It seemed counterintuitive to me, but
with the risk of infection and the bleeding and everything. Also, the fact that they might put a bag in my abdomen is just incredible to me. Like they're gonna fucking put a bag in my abdomen, wrap it around my uterus, and then just chunk it up like they're fucking tenderizing a steak. I'm so excited about this. So, yeah, when you were talking about, like, so how did they, is there tenderizing? I'm like, sous vide? Is that what we're doing here? Yep. That's
somebody with a Ginzu knife going.
Oh, my God.
After they've cut through an aluminum can.
Yep.
They're going to perform the uterectomy in order to show.
Ron Popeil would be so happy right now.
Correct.
So, yeah. That's basically like kind of the more overview of like this whole hysterectomy process.
Mm-hmm.
I did talk to my doctor about, I was like, okay, so how long does this process normally take? And she's like, nope, that's a trap. Here's the problem is that sometimes a hysterectomy can take 90 minutes. Sometimes it can take 5 hours. I do not want you going back to your family saying that the average is 2 to 3 hours and then having it be 4 hours later. And it's still completely normal and routine. It just happens to be taking longer.
Knowing you, Jen, it'll be 7.
Oh, I'm sure. So I'm guessing 2.5 hours. I did look on the internet in 2.5 hours.
I want my bet to be under 2 hours, just under 2 hours, so that the goal is delivered on time and under budget, but within the expected margin of error.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go the opposite direction. I am going to say that everything about your uterus this whole time.
Murphy's uterectomy?
Exactly. It has been so beyond. This is gonna be, they're gonna open you up and be like, what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
They're gonna find out that there's a play school figure in there that's been lodged.
Just a crayon since, up her nose? What?
Yeah.
I was going to go.
1981.
Well, I mean, here's... So I've been joking with some of my friends about, you know, they have phrases like "eat the uterus" and ovulation evacuation or like various other phrases. And I was kind of thinking something like cleaning out my womb. And then I said that to Joe, and he was like, "Don't you mean Jess's womb?" Like, she was the one that was in there. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm really mad about that.
Yeah, but you turned it into an exercise room after she left. That's...
It's okay. That's true. Well, that's why I need to get rid of it. I obviously haven't been using the damn thing for that purpose.
It was a gym, James, and a lot of people had memberships.
Oh, my God. I had a date like that?
Yep.
Okay. I only...
It was a spin
usually
class.
Usually I'm
and...
mad. Fuck.
Was it on this podcast that I found out what a fucking spin class is? I don't remember. It was recent.
It's possible. Yeah. I don't think... If it was recent, it probably wasn't this podcast.
I'm not ringing a bell, but that doesn't mean anything.
No, they usually don't put bells on those bikes.
Yeah. Gets noisy during the classes.
That's true. Yeah.
But what if you need to get around?
Instead, it's those little cards that, okay.
Yo, you put in your spokes.
Yep.
Baseball cards.
God damn, I want to do that now. Fuck. Just get on the exercise bike.
Yes.
James, this is why you're no longer allowed to go inside La Fitness.
Look, that's not the only reason. The other
also,
reason is that I repeatedly pronounced it La Fitness.
La Fitness.
Look, sometimes I just get excited to use my black card. I don't. That's what it's called. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yep. That is. I want to tell you how much my nephew appreciates.
I know.
God damn.
So anyway, I will be having my uterus out. We have the surgery date is already scheduled. Like I thought I was going to have to wait a few days for that. Nope. Mm-hmm. Like I got a couple hour turnaround on that shit.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
I got the soonest available appointment. July 31st.
Could well,
that is still sooner than I'm able to see my primary. So, I mean, like, seriously.
Yeah. My, my junk, surgery got delayed because I also have a cyst. And they said we should deal with that so that it does not create complications.
That's what they're doing with mine.
I can only express to you how much I would appreciate it if they fucking did.
I believe.
Oh,
that.
I agree. Yeah.
As if this is not a delicate enough area to get hit by stuff.
Right. Yeah.
God damn. All right.
So anyway. So yeah, my surgery is July 31st. What does that mean for me and all of my summer plans? Convergence isn't going to be an issue. So that's nice. James, you'll have a full partner for that. Depending on what my body is doing at any given point in time, but you know, overall I can be there. So that's nice.
Sure.
A lot of people know that, in August, September, and October, that's kind of my festival season, right?
Yeah.
Fringe Festival is the beginning part of August. Renaissance Festival, halfway through August through September. And then after that, I have the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that.
Yeah. My surgery is scheduled for July 31st, the first day of the Fringe Festival.
God damn.
Recovery time is different for every individual. And my doctor was very firm on recovery time is different for every individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can expect to spend the first 2 weeks not doing a lot of anything.
And Jesus.
Just being high on narcotics. So that'll be fun and not actually what I want to be doing during those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like... I will spend the first couple of days in the hospital, at least one day, probably two, just to double check.
You're going to find out you were on the wait list and your ball gets called.
Oh, that's, I'm mad, but that's also accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she'd have a pretty fucking fantastic one woman story to tell.
Yeah.
Can I do it over Zoom?
the doctor is there performing the operation.
Oh my god, yes. So anyway.
A one woman tell all.
So I cannot go to the Fringe Festival this year at all.
Yeah,
that sucks.
I have two opportunities that I was like, you guys, I can't say yes or no to anything until I know when my surgery is, and now I have to email a couple people back being like, yeah, I'll be on drugs during that time. So,
like, and they'll be like, us too. And you'll be like, no, wait, listen.
That's different. Yep. Medically prescribed and not allowed to move. So that's kind of the first couple of weeks. And looking at recovery, there's two main things that we have to focus on. The first 6 weeks are all about, I don't know how else to say this, keeping my vagina clean. Making sure that an infection does not happen while that is healing. That is the first.
Can't drink anything out of a straw. Can't.
Well, not through my vagina, I can't.
That's right.
No, I cannot take a bath. I can't put anything of any type in there, which I wasn't planning on it. No sex, which my doctor said that, and I just kind of looked at her and she's like, look, I gotta say it.
So she's been in any bathroom ever and seen your name on the wall. Is that,
yeah, okay,
that's why.
Look, it's been a single from anyway. But yeah, like, so basically. The first 6 weeks, I need to keep my knees together and nothing in there. Like, I'm fucking in Catholic private school, but like,
Not Catholic private school. That is the opposite of what you want.
Yeah, I was going to say that's.
Yeah. Oh, born again Christian. That's the one.
There you go.
The teenager born again evangelist. Yeah.
Denim skirts. Yeah.
I get those confused because I'm a very different brand of Christian. Anyway, yeah, so basically it is nothing in. Everything needs to be hygienic. Clean sheets consistently. Like, I'm probably gonna be changing my undies like three times a day just to be sure. Like, all of this stuff, antiseptic, soaps, and all of it. That's going to be the first 6 weeks, which means that I can't do anything unhygienic until like second or third week of September.
Oh, there's Fest that's out.
So and, much and of Fest. Yeah.
So that's a very large chunk of the festival season I'm going to miss. I cannot take this situation into third world conditions. That's just not. Yeah. Nope. And it's not even going to be about
nothing
strength
hygienic
or anything
about Fest.
Oh God, the opposite. Like,
so yeah, I am hoping that I can do a day or two out at Fest. It'll be my 34th season. I'd like to get a day or two in. I want to. I want to keep up my service awards count.
Get in one shift in one day just so you can check it off and say, yes, I worked this year.
Absolutely. And yeah, I don't plan on staying overnight or anything like that. I don't think my body's going to support it.
Trying to hang out, and I know that you're not the type to have a beer anyway, but like, no after hours activities are going to be fun or comfortable.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you're probably just going to be tired all the time because your body.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like, and I definitely want to be out there a couple of times if I can do it. Not just to hit my service award stuff, but that's my people. These are the people I grew up with or have spent formative years with formidable people.
They're the people that raised you when your parents wouldn't.
That. There's a lot of that going into technically kind of my high school friends, even though we weren't in the same high school together. And just people that I've met along the way, communities that supported me in times of need. Like, community is huge for me, and that's my run fair, man. Like, I go out there, certainly not for the pay. It's for the people. I want that. And I think that as long as everything is physically okay for me to be there, I think it'll be emotionally and spiritually good for me to get out for a day or two. So Renaissance Festival. So the first 6 weeks is just making sure I don't get an infection and die like a fucking 1800s war era soldier.
Right.
But
like you got a musket ball to the gut.
Right, exactly. And then the 6 weeks after that is still technically recovery. It's a 12-week process total.
Yeah.
Damn.
Expected. Because again, everybody is different. And that 12 weeks brings me through the rest of festival and through the Twin Cities Horror Festival. Like they really just couldn't have timed this at any other time to just hit all of my festivals at once. The second 6 weeks is much more about the balance between, building your strength back and not overdoing it and re-injuring anything. And it is much more about your abdomen and torso muscles than it is about actual infection. So it's like, if I hurt myself during the second 6 weeks, it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's not death sucks. It's not sepsis sucks. It's just like, son of a bitch. Now I've got another 3 months to my recovery because I pushed it too hard, kind of a thing.
But so doing something that would, you know, clench and unclench your abdomen muscles, like, I don't know, seeing a comedy show or a horror show would probably be problematic.
I honestly, during the horror festival, I don't see as many horror shows as you would think.
Oh no, I you're busy. I understand that.
Yeah. Just,
that too.
Right. Yeah. Although I do see some. So yeah, there is that to be taken into account. So yeah, that is what my surgery and recovery process looks like overall. Are there any questions?
That was pretty comprehensive.
Comprehensive.
Honestly. I'm sure we will have questions as things go along.
Sure.
But I mean, that was
circumspect.
I'm pretty good at explaining things in a relatively simplistic way. Oh shit. The one thing I forgot. So they talked about, they're going to remove my cervix, right? Mm-hmm. And so yeah. they'll have to stitch up my vagina. So I won't mm-hmm. have a cervix. It'll just be all vagina in that little cavity.
Yep.
And the doctor was like, so yeah, we're going to remove the cervix and then we're going to sew everything up kind of over by where the toe is in your vagina. And I was like, are you going to darn my vagina like a goddamn sock? And she was like, yes, actually, that's pretty much yes. exactly what I'm doing.
Not no.
So after the hysterectomy, we can all discuss my darned vagina.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay. Is,
my darned listeners. Vagina is my sitcom.
Dear listeners, if you have been through anything like this or if you have questions, go ahead and shoot your questions to Jenna. I'm sure she would yeah. be happy to answer your questions as long as they're not.
Oh, my God. You know, Discord like, discussion.
Yeah. Don't be disrespectful or, you know, obtuse. And I'm sure she'll be happy to
answer. Your ass out.
Exactly. But yeah, do that. Mm-hmm. We should probably take a break, though. Because we still have
an outro
to do before I go to bed.
What? The outro.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Don't start yet. I'm not ready.
Oh, don't can start. I pee? I need to pee.
Too late. I'll have a chance to.
Too late?
All right. I'm the only one who gets to pause or hold things up because I'm the one who gets to start. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Hey. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Good job, Jenna. You were right on top of that.
oh, shit.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stack. Mm-hmm. Whoa!
Well, that's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leg. No.
Oh.
Salsa, you are time traveling for us right now. I am so sorry. I'm sure this will be resolved in just a second.
How about now?
You are. Yeah, you're back.
How about now?
There you are. Yep.
How about now? How about
you're
now?
Good. You're good. You're good. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No. It literally says stack, treble clef, eighth notes. Whoa. Three eighth notes. that is the yeah.
yeah.
Anyway. is this Fast Five time sensitive? Yes. Tonight, if you are recording on St. Patrick's. Well, we weren't. So now we're going to do it now.
Sorry.
So.
Now it's just sensitive.
Oh, opening thoughts. What's Irish and sits on my back porch?
Patio furniture.
James, you got to give people a moment.
Patio furniture.
Good. Yeah. Good job, Jenna. Fucking look. Timing, James. Jesus Christ.
well, I'll go throw myself behind a train.
All right.
That's a good joke.
Question number one. Green or green?
Are they spelled differently, or is one capitalized and one not?
They are both capitalized and spelled the same way. They are identical.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say the second green. Because I feel I personally like a more darker forest green. And I feel like the first green would be more of a brighter or a lime or a, you know, kind of that hot emerald as opposed to the more darker foresty, whatever thing.
Emerald. Okay. Interesting.
So I'm going to punt and say green.
Once I get to the green, I do
I'm going with red.
We know.
You son of a bitch. I can't even. Like, there's a part of me that's like, no, you have to choose.
What's the difference?
He really doesn't.
This is the one time
yellow
actually gets the loophole. And I'm angry about this, and you all need to know how mad I am right now.
He doesn't get the loophole. Moment. He is
the loophole.
Or he's some kind of hole.
Definitely loopy. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'll choose the second one because I think the second one is, for some reason, Graham Greene. Author of many stories, Graham Greene.
Oh, okay. Graham Greene. Yep. Isn't that Greene?
It might.
Technicality.
As long as it's not Tom Greene, it might be Red Greene.
Oh, Red Greene. Oh, you know what? Both of you went second green. I'll go second green as well.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Green
is secretly red. To be fair, at this point, both of those greens have been red by salsa.
Jenna was the one who said that.
Wow.
I'm so happy right now.
I know.
All right. Question number two. Run or drun? Yes, the spelling is intentional.
Please spell drun.
So the first one is R-U-N, and the second one is D-R-U-N.
No apostrophe?
No apostrophe. Hmm. Both are capitalized, R, small U-N, or D, small R-U-N.
All right.
Do we think it's the drunk run?
No, I think it's... My vibe is that it would be like a line in an Irish folk song.
Drawn to the hill. Drawn for your life.
Because I can't think of an actual song. Like, I feel like it should be one though, right? Like...
My dislike for running is well documented, so I will go with drun.
Sure. I'll say drun.
Okay. Here's the problem that I'm at. Is that the only instance of drun I can think of is a command prompt. I don't remember what it does, though, and so I'm very awkward right now, being like... It is a word. I know I've seen it used, I don't remember what it does.
No, that...
Because I don't think I've used it in 25 fucking years.
Yeah, it's D-run.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. But, like, it's not a St. Patrick's Day thing unless you're talking about, like, green text on a black screen. That's the only thing I can think of, right?
Is it, like, dev run or something like that?
Also, right now in my brain, I have to do run, 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 to do run, run.
Yeah, no, I haven't had to do any dev work in like 25 years. So I don't.
I think the last time I touched that command prompt was when I was in school learning about that command prompt.
I'm going to say at my age, no running, drunning. Yeah. Even if it is drunk running, I would much rather do drunk running.
All right. Question number three. Predictable stereotype.
Okay.
Or something James might like to do for a day.
Okay. I was going to say, is a predictable stereotype. I pretty much hit an awful lot of marks on the whole middle-aged white woman. And I don't think that's something I want James to be doing for a day. So
no.
I'm going to go predictable stereotype.
Thank you. And no, thank you.
Same.
I recently found out that stereotype and cliche are both terms from the Gutenberg printing press. That
Sorry, say that cliche, again. Because I feel like I was paying attention but missed a critical thing. Say
stereotype
it again.
And cliche are technical terms from the industry around the Gutenberg press.
I knew about stereotype.
And cliche is onomatopoeia. So stereotype was whenever you and logo is also logo is a set of text in a particular style.
From the Gutenberg?
Yes. And it's always
from
going
Steve,
to appear in the same
Steve
way.
Steve Gutenberg, yes.
Steve Gutenberg, yeah. So
I just start saying logo at Renfest like all the time for no good reason because it just doesn't sound like it belongs there.
That's why anyway, HP is a logo, but the Apple symbol is not technically a logo. It's an icon.
Yep.
Sure, but it's not a logo means text. Whatever. Yeah, that's extremely pedantic. The
I feel like that definition has changed over the years, but
it,
please continue.
It definitely has. But the but stereotype is any amount of text that they store it whole instead of being in the little tiny bits. And or out the sorts, which is how you can be out of sorts. But then cliche is the onomatopoeia of creating stereotype by pushing it into the soft, malleable material that was like a paper mache, because it made like a cliche was the sound that it would make. Yeah. Into the clay or into the moldable thing that they would use to then create a plate that is identical to that for mass production and reprinting.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, it was so fucking weird.
That,
all right.
No, that's really cool information. I need that documentary. Right.
So, it was stereotype, or something that I would enjoy doing for a day. Well, I'm going to choose something that I would enjoy doing for a day.
Probably.
Thanks very much. Like, giant soft pretzel eating and video games.
I mean, as much as I hate to say it, I think I would want to do what James would want to do for a day, because he would want to do some weird esoteric shit that I would probably also want to do.
I mean
there is also that.
I'm not gonna lie.
There is that. But
I will go with stereotype just because it was the first thing to pop into my mind, but I'm guessing it was a fun joke.
Sometimes just doing the stereotypical shit can be fun too.
Right.
Oh,
I didn't realize I liked pumpkin spice as much as I did until I tried it. And I was
this
is amazing. I am a white woman and I should have been drinking this for years. What the fuck?
I've tried it all over the place and I love like having buffalo wings in Buffalo, New York, and having pizza in Italy, and having Swiss cheese in Switzerland. Like, I love that. I love doing that.
I love having Swiss cheese anywhere. Well, Swiss is probably one of my top three cheeses.
Cheese is amazing, and I miss it.
Also,
eat it whenever you can.
That.
Also
but,
that.
Yeah. no, I'm going to go something James might like to do for a day, because that just sounds like it might be.
It is intriguing. It
absolutely I think it would be an adventure. All right. Question number four. Morning or evening?
I fucking hate mornings.
Fuck mornings. I'm an evening person.
Mm-hmm. I do love a sunrise, but I love a sunset more. So I'm going to say evening.
Well, actually, weirdly, I enjoy a sunrise more. I'm just never awake for them. So my life is depressing.
So on those rare moments you do see them, they mean more.
That's true. Usually along the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
We all went evening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question number five.
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 Hat or hair?
Ah, shit.
Hat.
I mean, I'm a hat person. I've got like a hat rack in my hallway and a hat rack in our entryway. Like, I like hats. So
hat. I used to own more hats, but maybe I should bring hats back in my rotation. I used to have more, and I do wear a hat fairly well, but there's something about being able to continue to do my hair that I'm like, I should still do this while I can, kind of vibe, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
my favorite hat is more likely to do my hair for an event rather than wear a hat for it.
Fair. My favorite hat is missing.
Oh no!
I think I would be. Yeah.
Oh no.
I think I might be more upset if my hair were missing. But you're... I think one of those is going to happen eventually.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm pretty upset that I've been losing my hair. So, like, it's been thinning, not missing, but still. Sure. Same idea.
Yeah.
Pretty upset by it nonetheless.
So, hat.
So, I would say
hat?
Hat.
Hair.
Okay.
Yeah. Hat, Jenna said hair.
Hat, hair.
All right. All right. Let's find out. Question number one, green or green? Would you rather have to wear all green for a year?
Oh.
Or only be able to eat food that has been dyed green for a month?
Second one. I love wearing green. However, I also love wearing orange.
Wearing all green.
Yeah.
For a year. I think I would eat the food because I probably wouldn't notice the difference.
That's very fair.
Jenna?
I don't care. I'm wearing green right now. In fact, I took off my green cardigan that goes with the green t-shirt I'm wearing right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like wearing green for a year kind of just almost happens on its own. Yeah. I do have other colors that I like to wear though. So, and as far as all green, I do have two pairs of green tennis shoes and several green pairs of pants. Like, I really could actually do this.
Yeah, no, I could go either way on it too.
But I think a month is quicker. A month of dyed green food. It's probably faster, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can it be any food? Can it just be green eggs and ham?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm extra in for dyed food. I'm Dr. Seuss that shit.
All right. Question number two, run or drun?
Okay.
Oh, would you rather... Oh, it's going to be drone. Okay. Would you rather have to chase a rainbow every time you see one for a month, or always hear bagpipes playing softly in the background of your life?
Oh my God, I want that.
The entire life? The entire life.
Yes.
It just says always. That would drive me fucking insane.
I
would do it.
I enjoy good bagpipes. Let's be real clear. Shitty bagpipes are shitty, and I agree everybody on that. I enjoy good bagpipes. I do not want them all the time. I would rather put in the time to not have always bagpipes.
I've got mild tinnitus, so I'm like halfway there.
Oh, sure.
If I could get the tinnitus for each year...
The tinnitus... To align with the drone?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah,
I would love that.
I'm.
Do you ever sing along with your microwave?
I'm the kind of ADHD that hears electricity.
Same.
And so, like, hearing a bagpipe in the background all the time would never.
I'd never get anything.
Be
done.
Able to, it would just drive me to distraction and insanity. I would never be able to focus on anything ever.
Mine is an ADHD thing. It is very specifically a PTSD awareness thing.
Mm.
It has a very similar thing, but I would be consistently on edge listening for the next whatever. The entire time. Nope, that's not Jesus. Happening.
Yeah. No, I have had conversations with my wife that I haven't heard a word because all I could hear was the
refrigerator.
The refrigerator. Or the, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a light bulb on somewhere. Yeah. If it's an incandescent. Yeah.
Yep.
Or a fluorescent. Oh, fluorescents are the fucking worst. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I've probably seen two rainbows in the last year. So I would chase a rainbow every time I saw one because I wouldn't really see many. I'd have to go outside for that.
Question, does Salsa have to run a shorter amount of distance? Because he's not seeing the entire rainbow?
Oh my god. I was actually going to ask if prism rainbows counts, but I'm good.
Question number three. Predictable stereotype or something James might like to do for a day. Would you rather only be able to talk in limericks for a day?
Ooh.
Oh, that's really good. Or have to end every sentence with to be sure, to be sure.
To be sure, to be sure. the old Irish woman who took two pills. To be sure, to be sure.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the entire thing, Salsa?
Would you rather only be able to talk in limericks for a day?
One day.
Or have to end every sentence with, to be sure, to be sure.
For how long?
It does not say.
Well, yeah. One of them is just for a day.
But the second one
doesn't have a timeline.
But the second one had in the question something James might like to do for a day.
Oh,
I'm willing to go with that. I just need parameters.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I think talking in limericks for a day would be kind of fun.
I would do the to be sure because I have shit to say and I want to get it said. however, I do like the idea. The day of Limerick? Limerick Day? Maybe Limerick Hour. I don't know that full day needs to be dedicated.
Yeah. I think I would do the limericks just for the...
Do you guys... Okay, do you all have a favorite limerick? Let's share.
I do. Real quick.
Can it
be filthy?
Yes.
A lot
have you met this podcast? Go.
Yeah, mine are mostly drinking ones.
Yeah. James...
Sure. I took a quick trip to the Biff to let something out in a jiff. I heard the couple next door mid situ amor, and now when I poo, I get stiff.
Ew. That's actually a really good limerick, but I'm mad about it.
Or, awesome. Yeah.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm sorry, I'm having stage fright.
Oh my God.
A young fellow quite fond of paint, was famed for his lovemaking quaint. He was rather more thorough than any other in the borough. For he'd pleasure you front, back, and taint.
Oh my God, Salsa, please think of something. I do have one.
Go ahead.
There once was a woman from Thrace whose corset got harder to lace. Her mother said, Nelly, there's more in your belly than ever got there through your face.
Ooh. A lady with features cherubic was famed for her area pubic. If asked of its size, she'd reply in surprise, do you mean in square feet or cubic?
Okay. I was honestly just looking for one from each. I wasn't trying to elongate everything, but now James has done three, Salsa has done none, and I only shared the one that I know. So
I love Limerick so much.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I will write filthy haiku or limericks on the back of letters that I'm sending. Pretty consistently.
I am fucking aware Secret Santa number third, fourth time in a row.
Yeah.
Fuck nut.
Oh, that too. Yeah. God damn.
All right.
Anyway, question number four, morning or evening. Would you rather have to drink only Irish coffee in the morning or only Guinness at night on St. Paddy's Day?
Oh,
can I do both?
Coffee in the morning.
I want to do both.
I don't want the Guinness. This one's easy for me.
Bailey's makes a non-dairy Irish cream.
Almondi.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I was so excited to learn that.
I've known this for years, and I thought I told you already.
Oh.
So you start with garlic and onions.
Besides, hold on. Irish coffee is with whiskey, not with Irish cream.
True.
Oh.
Irish coffee is a whiskey coffee. But a lot of people do Irish cream their coffee.
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, Bailey's coffee crazy. Is definitely good, but it is not. Good,
but it is
Irish
not
coffee.
Technically an Irish coffee.
Okay.
Learn
something new.
One of the St. Patty's Day mornings, I got coffee, and they were like, "Do you want Irish?" And I was like, "Actually, can I get amaretto instead?" Amaretto coffee is amazing. But they still charged me as an Irish, so.
Yeah. I would pick either of them and do the other one just for free.
Yeah. Story checks out.
Yeah, I think we all know how I lean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was going to be pretty obvious.
Come on, Eileen. Is that?
Yep. Question number five. Hat or hair? Would you rather wake up with bright green hair every St. Patrick's Day?
Ooh.
Or have to wear a giant leprechaun hat for the entire
hair.
Easy choice.
Hair. Oh my
cool.
God.
Hair.
Fuck.
Absolutely hair.
Do you know how long it takes me to get my hair that color? Jesus fucking Christ. And then I can put the hat on top of it.
Oh man, that would be, I would absolutely hair. Yeah.
Fuck 100%. Yes. Oh, shit. Yeah.
All right. Closing thoughts. Have a lovely St. Patty's. We did. Aww. Thank you so very much.
Yeah.
And I hope you did too as well, Stack. Whoa. And if you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. We do need more. That was the last one in our current backlog, so please do so. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I'm getting a hysterectomy on July 3rd.
So go get tickets for that. James?
Are you going to post links in the show notes? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that one's one of those ahead of time things. I'll let you know when links become available.
Okay. Yeah. Good thinking.
James, anything to plug?
Oh, fuck.
You don't have to.
Yeah, no, not anymore. Okay.
Cool. neither do I at the moment. I will have in a couple weeks, but that'll wait. Okay. Does anybody have any shout outs?
Yes.
This is going to sound gross, but I have a shout out for Salsa for Pi Day. And all of the Sterlings who contribute, but also Salsa. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that gathering, yo. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pie. Mm-hmm. There's nothing bad. I don't know how you came up with a concept that can't fail, but you did it. So, fuck you, I guess.
Truly,
that's
wonderful.
How kudos work, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Great, done.
Today it is.
Anyway, but yeah, it was a lovely time, and thank you,
James.
I am going to give a shout out to the folks who are prepping for the next couple of Vill shows. What a great fucking time. I'm glad to just be a part of it.
All right, cool. I am going to give a shout out to everybody who came to the party and everybody who made pies. And obviously you didn't have to make a pie to come to the party, but definitely I love the fact that people get really into it and start to just experiment and try new things. We had some pies this year that people were just trying new things with, and they turned out great. And I was really happy to see it. So, always a good time to see. So thank you so much. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye. I love you. Bye bye. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. Thank you so very much to Stack for sending in that Fast Five. Sorry it took us a week to get to it.
That's
how it goes sometimes. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I don't know what you're doing over there, but that was a bad joke.
I love that so much.